This is Larry's 530 Roundtable on Newstalk 610 CKTB.
Let's meet today's panel. Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Port Colborne, Scott Louise, in the studio. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Larry. How's it going today?
Good. How are you? How are things in Port Colborne?
Very good. It's an exciting time of year in Port Colborne. We're coming into our holiday season. We have quite a few holiday events. Santa Claus Parade, December 2nd. Grand Old Christmas at the Museum, December 3rd. And, of course, your chance to shop in downtown Port Colborne. Check our social feeds and our website for the times, but they're all great events.
Nice. Oh, boy. I love Santa Claus Parade season, if you will. Santa manages to get to most of the communities.
And in Port Colborne, he comes in a boat, so it's kind of unique respect.
Yes.
He comes in on a boat on the canal, and then our parade is a lit nighttime parade, which is unique in the area.
Love that. Yeah.
It's a great feature.
So check out Port Colborne, as you say, on social media and everywhere, and you can get all those details.
Absolutely.
Also on our panel today with Facts Niagara Family and Children's Services Niagara, Ann Godfrey. Hello, Ann.
Hi, Larry.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me.
How are things at Family and Children's Services?
We're busy.
Is it a busy time of year?
It's always kind of a busy time of year, but we've got lots of things going on, and in particular, we have some holiday things happening. We're also in a bit of a recruitment campaign right now for foster parents, so like to get that word out, and I'd like to say, too, that having got some word out on the radio and other media, we've actually got a really good response, so that's very encouraging to us. Yeah.
So when give people a general idea, we say looking for foster parents.
Yes.
Who would be a candidate?
Anybody. Right. And, you know, I think that's really important. Sometimes I think people kind of disqualify themselves. They're sort of like, well, could I do that? Sure you could. You know what? If you've a genuine caring for kids, you want to give back to your community. Foster parents provide temporary care for kids who can't be at home for a variety of reasons. It is temporary. You get lots of support, lots of training. There's quite a thorough approval process. So it's something that if anybody's ever considered that, and we do find that people have thought about it for a long time before they kind of take the plunge, it's time to take the plunge. Give us a call.
Okay. All right. And how do people find you online?
They can find us online at Facts Niagara. .ca. They can give us a call. We also have Facebook and Twitter. You can follow us and, make an inquiry. Just get a little bit of information. You'd be very surprised. Our foster parents will say, for sure it's challenging, but they'll say it's one of the best things they've ever done.
I can believe that. All right. Thanks. Yeah. Find that. That is Facts Niagara, Family and Children's Services. We have Niagara College back to school today. All the Ontario colleges are back 5 weeks later. Scott, I'll start with you. What did you make of this? Did it have to go 5 weeks, number one?
You know, I thought about this a lot. There are certain workers that can't strike in Ontario, emergency services providers, fire and police, and I almost wonder why college teachers aren't included in that, college instructors. The way that the kids have been set back, I think it's going to affect their employment. It's going to affect, there's cost, obviously. I understand that there are some programs for the kids, but I just don't know if maybe there was some kind of binding arbitration from the start, but it didn't upset the semester, if that would be a better solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's that hits pretty close to home for me, because both my boys are in college, so we just got them off to college, and boom, they were back home.
Wow.
So it was tough. They're both at the stage where they're kind of serious about their schooling, so because it wasn't like, oh, great, we've got a few weeks off. They were very anxious to get back.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of torn as well. I'm not entirely unsympathetic to some of the issues that the faculty are talking about. I get it. But, yeah, it's very disruptive for the kids. I've heard some really sad stories about some kids who just essentially they kind of gave up. You know, they got so discouraged waiting. I know of one that just came home this week, just sort of said, come get me, I'm done, I can't wait this out any longer. And that's sad and unfortunate. And I know it's creating a lot of anxiety for kids about how are we going to cram this all in? Am I going to be able to get what I need for my program? So it's tough.
The thing that impressed me was the number of kids who said that they kept doing their schoolwork even though they were off of school. I was something around 50 or more percent, and I think that takes a good intestinal fortitude. I don't know if I'd have the willpower to keep up my studies.
It was challenging. I know my guys were doing the same, but they were getting a little frustrated because they were going on and going, oh, I can't do this because I don't have this information or that information.
At some point, you need the instruction.
Yeah.
You need the instruction.
Yeah.
And also, now that they cram this in, are they going to extend the semester through the Christmas break and then have them back early? I don't know how it's going to go course to course. You know, you might be able to do it in one course, not in the other. I'm sure media is different from midwifery to, whatever else they learn in the college.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to be interesting to see how many drop. Like your guys could come home. There's people that couldn't go home. They live far away.
Yeah, that was hard for those kids for sure. But and I think too, it's going to affect them. You know, I mean, that's going to cause a bit of a ripple between the faculty and the kids. Like, how do they kind of come back together now and sort of pick up where they left off? And I'm sure there's going to be some feelings and some sensitivities there that you know, they may need to get through. So that's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. The Federal Auditor General, Michael Ferguson, came out with a report today. Two of the highlights were the Phoenix Pay System and the CRA, the Canada Revenue Agency. Are you shocked that they seem to be not doing their job? In a lot of ways, they give the wrong answer to tax, you know, in questions, 30% of the time. A lot of the calls don't even get through.
Yes.
Do we need an overhaul, I guess?
Definitely something to improve customer service. I know as a public administrator, customer service to the public is paramount importance, and to see that a third of people are getting the wrong answers, and then there was phone calls that aren't even getting through.
Right.
Government, you know, being one, the civil service gets a bad enough rap sometimes from the public, and I think in this case it's justified, it's earned. So improvements have to be made.
Well, I think particularly when it comes to, you know, this area, again, kind of a sensitive area when it comes to paying your taxes. And, you know, people, if people are proactively seeking advice and accurate information, that's a good thing, because, goodness, you don't want to get it wrong, because that can be very problematic. And to find that you're either not getting the right answers or not getting help, it's there's a certain irony there.
There is. I mean, if you're calling the actual CRA for a tax tip, because you want to get your tax return right, and you mail that in based on the information, or you hit send and it goes through, and then you get audited based on information you got from CRA.
Right.
That's mind-boggling. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't let that happen. Now, the other part was the Phoenix Pay System, by the way. Now, none of us get paid through Phoenix, but what an incredible
Nobody
network.
Gets paid through Phoenix, apparently.
Good point. It's a great point. Or you get overpaid, but I haven't heard too many of those stories. But, I mean, this has led to marriages splitting up because, you know, finances are a big source of stress with couples. And
We did an accounting system implementation in Port Colborne, and you have to be so careful. You have to test and test and test before you go live with something. And I just can't believe that it got to this stage. I can't believe these issues weren't resolved earlier in the process, I guess. Mm-hmm. There has to be better accountability.
They say maybe a decade and $1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, to get this properly fixed.
That is shocking, and it, you know, it is very disturbing. It's not the first time. You know, we've had a big government computer system sort of come down the pike and kind of go sideways, and I think that it is rather shocking because, again, some irony there. I mean, technology is supposed to make our lives easier, better, supposed to improve accuracy, supposed to improve efficiency. So, again, that it could go so horribly wrong, and to find out how much it's going to cost to fix it on top of probably how much it cost to implemented in the first place is pretty shocking.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a lot about computers, but I know enough that if there were coding mistakes at the beginning, you're in big trouble. Because as soon as you fix something, it actually doesn't stay fixed, or it's not a proper fix, because you have to go back and redo the code from the very beginning. To get through all that is going to be a monster.
And the impact, I mean, in the number of people that it's impacting is also quite mind-boggling, you know, to think about how far-reaching that is, and hearing that people are taking out lines of credit and overextending and borrowing money, to think that that's our federal, you know, those are federal employees and federal government. I mean, that is really shocking.
Like, I think if Bill Morneau misses a paycheck occasionally, I'm not that upset. He'll get his money, I guess, but it's all the other, you know, civil servants, all the other workers.
Yep.
It's going to be. I hope they get it.
And they keep coming to work. I mean, that's the other thing. They keep coming to work and putting in, I'm assuming, a full day's work, a good day's work.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll get paid, and maybe they won't. Like that's not the greatest deal.
Well, the point was, how do you recruit people into the civil service now? Also, if, like, by the way, it's a great job, you might not get paid, but would you like to work for us?
Right. just morale and customer service. Does that fall down? Does that decrease because of the impact on their home lives and their their job.
It would have to.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're not feeling very terribly valued
at this point. It's our 5:30 roundtable with Scott Louie and Ann Godfrey. We can add to the list Charlie Rose. Did anybody watch Charlie Rose? CBS, PBS? I mean, we're aware of him as a name, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. A journalist?
I hadn't watched him. I have been following the story and the allegations in the news, yeah.
Fired by CBS and PBS, 8 different women coming forward. It's just another name every day, and I mean, it's not just celebrities, but certainly we take note of the people who are celebrities, and especially in this case for me, a journalist who's supposed to represent some sort of morality, credibility, all that out there. What do you make of all this?
Well, you know, it's just saddens me every day to hear more and more coming forward, and I guess, you know, I don't think any of us are naive. I think we know that this kind of stuff goes on, but the sheer magnitude and the volume, and it just feels like it's epidemic. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that's really kind of taken my breath away is like another and another and another. And I would say that probably very, very close to 100%, I would guess. I mean, there's always room for question, but I'm sure that most of these allegations are probably quite founded, and that's very disturbing.
I think it's such a, I don't know if the word's bittersweet. It's so good that these revelations are being made, that women are feeling safe to come forward with, you know, and confront their accusers in groups how can there be this many though? That's the part that blows me away. Is it's every day there's 2 or 3 new revelations about a new celebrity, and you know we've known a lot of the things that women deal with in the workplace. We know about the glass ceiling. We know about wage inequity. But to also have to confront this in your career, I just think it's a shameful time in our history. And I'm glad to see that it's being ferreted out. But I'm just blown away by the magnitude and the number of complainants.
Yeah, agreed. And I think the other part too is again that sort of feeling of how naive were we? Like it's like a lot of things. We feel like we've come so far, and then you're like, seriously? This is happening? Like we thought we came so far, but we didn't know all that. I mean, we kind of knew, but I think most people will still be shocked at, again, like you say, the magnitude, the numbers, and it is just really, really, it's just really saddening and hurtful. But I think your evaluation of being somewhat bittersweet, like at least it's getting out there. At least it's getting out in the open. But it's like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, it just seems shocking to me. I mean, why don't we just hang Playboy calendars back up around the office? I mean, it's just, that's how ancient this feels to me. Like, this shouldn't be happening. We've already been there. We agreed this doesn't go on, yet it is. Mm-hmm. Right? It's incredible.
On my job, you know, I employ, as an employer, our paramount job is to keep our staff safe. And this is an area where women should be safe. The part that's troubling is that in some places, these are the people who run or own the business. Charlie Rose owned his own show and sold it. So he is the employer. Where do you go for relief when the employer is the one that's doing the behavior?
Yeah, there's no
abusing.
HR person.
Yes.
There's no, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's another element to it that is also very disturbing, is that not only it is a power thing, you know, and to think that people, men, gain power and then use it for this is very disheartening. I think the other part of it too that's really tough to hear is when some other people are coming forward and going, well, actually I did know and I should have said something, but I didn't. So that, I think the sort of the bystander piece is also really difficult to hear about. Again, bittersweet. It's good that people are kind of owning up to it, because I think that's going to make everybody else question, you know, always when you're in an uncomfortable situation, should I say something? Should I not? Should I take action? You should. And I think that when that aspect of it as well is quite disturbing.
There was one woman who came to a producer and said, because when we hear Charlie Rose wandered around nude in front of them, you go, well, how does that happen at CBS? He actually, you know, come back to my house. We're working at my home or my apartment today. And he'd walk around nude. And one woman complained, and the producer said, well, that's Charlie being Charlie. I'm like, wow.
And that's what has to, a stop has to be put to that. Yes.
Yeah. And that producer, of course, expressing great regret now. But at the time, who knows, if that was a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know. Inexcusable at any time, but said, oh, that's Charlie being Charlie. And that, too much of that happened.
Becomes a bit of the culture. I also heard on the radio today something about Gene Simmons behaving badly in a similar kind of scenario where right. almost sounded like he was making light of some of this stuff that was going on. And again, not helpful.
It's not helpful. The thing that worries me a little bit is that we're having this discussion every day, and then tomorrow, who's it going to be? And it's not one, for most of these people, it's not one woman where I was this old and I made a mistake. This is a number of women. This was the way you were, the way you are. This is predatory stuff. You can't say I made a mistake once. And if the more we hear about it, the more it becomes just part of the news hum, and we don't pay attention to it. I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I think it's this sense too of getting away with it and becoming more emboldened right. and more emboldened. And I think that's really a bit scary. But as scary as that is, that we don't become desensitized to it. Yeah. That we hear it so much that we're like, oh, another allegation. We should continue to be shocked and outraged about it.
Or allow it to become politicized, where it's okay if it's Democrats, not okay if it's Republicans.
Right.
The whole Al Franken issue.
And right, because they're already talking about that. Roy Moore and all the women accusing him, and he's a candidate, and that the Republicans welcomed the Al Franken revelation because it took the heat off Roy Moore. And I'm like, hold on, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Becoming politicized, too bad.
So creating a system or an environment where people can come forward safely, I think, is the most important thing to do moving forward.
And this could be I think if you want to try to take something positive away from this is to give that sense of safety and a little bit of vindication for women to see these former icons that apparently could not be touched. Well, they can,
yes.
and they're
yeah.
going to be brought down. And so that's a good thing in terms of, I think, sort of stripping away some of the ability to continue to get away with this kind of thing and individuals who think that they might be able to. Not so much, and that's a good thing.
Hey, guys, it's World Television Day, as declared by the United Nations every year since 1996. I had no idea. Are you watching anything? Do you still watch good old television, or are you streaming and watching on all kinds of screens and binge-watching, or are you watching TV?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Good.
It's a little bit of a guilty pleasure, I guess.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. What shows are you into?
So interestingly enough, for us, and we have all been, we have teenage and young adult sons, so they've got us all set up with all the tech. So we watch Netflix, we watch, I can watch on my tablet, I can broadcast it to the TV, but I've really enjoyed a few series, so everything from Riverdale, which is mm-hmm. the sort of dark take on the Archie's comics,
right.
which people of my generation kind of connect with, and it's a new twist. Stranger Things, that's another popular one, and also because we can also, with our TV, is sort of on demand, so if there was a series that was on and you didn't see it, so I think we watched The Disappearance, which was a very good series as well. It was about a missing child.
Right.
And that was a six part series. So, yes, we're partaking of all of it.
What about you, Scott?
We haven't cut the cord, but we don't watch a ton of TV. We're more likely to watch a whole series after it's concluded. Like we watch the Breaking Bad or the Sons of Anarchy after it's all over and watch all the seasons. If we're going to put the TV on, it's probably going to be for a hockey game or a football game. I think TV changed so much with reality TV, and right now there's a lot of comic book TV, the DC and Marvel Comics type shows, and I don't know if it's for us. I think we're used to watching an entire series and watching every episode of ER or something like that.
Yeah.
So we sort of wait and see, though, because a lot of them get canceled. You watch a show and you get invested and it gets canceled. So now we watch them
exactly.
in block.
Well, I love that you can pick and choose.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I love about sort of the new TV, is you
right.
can kind of decide what you're going to watch, when you're going to watch it. If you don't like it, you stop watching it. Somebody will recommend a series. So yeah, it's kind of put you in the driver's seat a little more, so that the time you do spend is, you're not just flicking through the channels, and you're not a victim of whatever happens to be on.
Although I do a lot of screens, I watch on different screens, watch different things, but to me, it's the old TV, to me, is the lean back. I'm in front of my TV, and whatever whatever I watch there, whether I'm streaming something or it's a regular television, that's to me at least TV. It's the lean back experience and what is on.
But isn't that what changed? I remember when there was 30 channels and you could see what was on all 30 channels right. in just a few minutes, and we called it channel surfing. You went yeah. through all the channels, and now there's so much content out there across so many platforms.
Well, it's the internet, so it's a billion yeah. channels.
So it's how do you yeah. find what's for you? And I think it is through word of mouth or talking, you know, what's popular and things like that.
I think it's kind of gone on a wave. I mean, I grew up with two channels.
Yeah.
Then it increased to 30. And then there were so many yeah. channels, but nothing to watch. Now it's kind of honed back down again where I feel like you're a little more in control.
You are yeah. in control. Scott Louie, Chief Administrative Officer, City of Port Colborne. Santa Claus Parade, December 2nd. What else?
The next day at the village, at the museum, it's our Grand Old Christmas. December 3rd, and then all week they are selling their Christmas pudding at the museum. And of course, just come on out to Port Colborne. It's a beautiful downtown shopping district with quaint shops, a lot of nautical themed gifts because of us being on the canal and on Lake Erie. A wonderful place to visit all through the year, but especially in December.
There you go. And Ann Godfrey, Family and Children's Services, Niagara. Think about being a foster parent, right?
Absolutely. You know what? There's so many ways. We like to say our kids are your kids. They're Niagara's kids. There's so many ways to help us. You can foster. You could volunteer. You can make a donation. Just give us a call or check out our website.
Family and Children's Services Niagara. That is our 5:30 Roundtable.